Welcome to A Healthier You, Little by Little. This podcast gives you insights and features various aspects of health, from sleep and stress to immunity, exercise, home workouts, energy, and performance. Here is your host of A Healthier You, Little by Little, Cindy Little.
Today's episode is the 49th episode, and bear with me. I think this is going to be probably my toughest one yet. Today's title is How to Go On After Somebody Dies. How do you pick yourself up again and start all over? Maybe you're listening to this because I sent you this episode in hopes to help your healing around death, or perhaps you just happened on it and haven't had to deal with a close death. Either way, I think this may help support somebody who's dealing with death or will help you someday yourself. So it's about a 17-minute episode, and if you could wait till the end, listen till the end, I'm going to give some tips on how to go through the grieving process and to help people go through the grieving process. We never want our loved ones to die. It's understandable when they've led a good long life, but it's not understandable or comprehensible when a young person dies or has an unexpected death. Not even 5 months ago, we lost our 21-year-old son, Dylan. He was perfectly healthy, happy, and heading to a new job at 7:20 in the morning. He was on a country road that wasn't snowy or wet and on a straight part of the road. He died instantly in a head-on collision when his car crossed the center line and clipped a trailer that was being pulled by a truck. It's almost been 5 months and we still don't have the final police investigation report with the full details. October 25th, 2021 was the day our life was altered. How do you outlive your child? Most people don't even want to imagine it, and I don't want you to. It is our worst nightmare. I went to a friend's mom's funeral yesterday. She was 90. As I watched my friend and her siblings throw roses into the grave with the urns that had been lowered into the hole in the ground, I prayed that my friend's parents would meet up with Dylan, our son, and look out for him. This 90-year-old was like a grandma to our kids, and her beloved husband Doug had passed away a few years prior. They kept his ashes to be buried with his wife Jane when the time came. Jane had called me from her nursing home in December to express her condolences for our son. It had taken her a couple of months to come up with the right words to say. In that 5 to 10 minute phone conversation, she recounted stories and memories of our son visiting their cottage in the summers, and how sweet he was and how proud she was of him. She assured us Dylan was proud of us too, and that we were good parents. It was really nice to hear that from her. She said Doug would help take care of him in heaven, and she would too when she joined Doug. After we hung up the phone, I vowed to get down to her nursing home to see her, which was 1.5 hours away, but sadly, she died 6 days later. Did she know she was going to die? Is that why she called to reassure me she would look out for Dylan? I was touched by her call. Jane passed away in her sleep. I think if there's a way to go, it should be like that. She had survived heart attacks and strokes and had been living in a nursing home for her last few years. She knew her time to be with Doug had come. Her adult children, grandchildren, and her great-grandchild will live with her memories now, as we do with our son. I dedicate this 49th episode to Jane and Dylan, our angels in heaven. Jane, you were the catalyst to do this episode when I didn't think I had the strength or will to do it. See, the thing about death is that it causes a pause in life. It makes one consider the important things. For instance, is it important to have a spick and span clean house? Is it important to do all the things you used to? Is it important to be your old cheery self? The answer is no. My advice is, you do you. There is a book that was recommended to us to read after death. It's Okay to Not Be Okay. I love that. In summary, it stated that everybody has different grieving periods, and it's okay not to be the old self you used to be. There is no normal. There just is what it is. Death is so different for all of us. My husband took it really hard on the first month. He almost couldn't stop crying, couldn't sleep through the night, and had no appetite or desire to do anything. I wasn't much better, but managed to do what was needed. Our daughter Amy, who's almost 3 years older than her one and only little brother, took it really hard as well. When the police knocked at the door to inform us of our son's death, I was in disbelief. It took me over 2 weeks to really break down and feel the gravity of the situation. The police who came to our door were not the police who were on the scene of the accident, but were notified to let us know before we heard from somebody else. They offered to stay with us until the police from the accident arrived to share what they could. After collapsing into each other's arms for support, my husband Darren and I were in shock. The police officer notified our son's work why he didn't make it to work, and we texted our daughter and her fiance Connor to come right away. She lives 25 minutes away, so they came without knowing why, but must have realized it was serious. In the meantime, the cops from the accident scene came before Amy and Connor got to our house. They explained more details and said when Amy and Connor got there, they would leave the room so we could deliver the news. It is the worst thing a parent would have to do, at least the worst thing up to this point for us. After Amy and Connor got over the initial shock, the two female cops came back into the room. They sat down and guided us with the next steps. They produced a folder of information of the next steps with their contact information. They said we wouldn't remember much of the conversation from this day, but they let us know that they were there to help us. They left, and the four of us sat there, sitting in silence and numbness. It took a couple of hours of figuring out what we should do, and it felt like time had stopped. Nothing seemed to matter anymore. We were lost, we were in disbelief, and we were numb. The first few days were a blur. Amy and Connor stayed with us to help arrange what needed to be done. Dylan passed on a Monday, and by Saturday we were having a celebration of life at our home. Lots had to be done in that week, and looking back now, I don't know how we did it. Connor was such a big help and a coordinator between the funeral home and us. He drove us back and forth between the funeral home and our house to help make arrangements. I thank Connor and Amy for being by our side that first worst week of our life. Friends and neighbors and Darren's military family of brothers kicked into high gear and surrounded us with love, compassion, and support. Four of his military friends showed up a day before the celebration of life to help prepare for the event. They brought food and drinks, they helped clean our house and rearrange furniture to accommodate the event. They were willing to do anything necessary. The day of celebration of life, my friends, who many were also mothers of children the same age, commented on my strength to pull everything together and stay composed. I don't even know how I did it, but a parent will do it for their child. An inner strength kicked in. I was like a robot on mission mode. I compartmentalized my emotion and just functioned. How do we move on now that we've taken care of hosting a goodbye for our son? How do you move on from your loved ones? Literally, quite literally, 1 hour at a time and 1 day at a time. It seems to us like the future is too far to think about, even 5 months later. For me, I understand death more now than I used to. I used to hate funerals or anything to do with death. I've talked now about an elderly person's death recently, our son's death, and now I'll talk about a midlife death of a close friend a couple years ago. My good friend Donna, a fellow motorcyclist, was struck accidentally by a car. The driver wasn't paying attention when Donna passed on her motorcycle. When Donna passed, she was T-boned and ended up in a coma for 2 to 3 weeks with a head injury and multiple other injuries. It was senseless and ended up being tragic as she didn't pull through. She was only 53, was an excellent motorcyclist of many years and miles behind her. I was devastated. I cried so much for the next couple of days and weeks after. All I could think about was why her. She spent 30 respectful years serving in the military and hadn't retired yet. Her husband also not retired yet. Was robbed of their retirement years. They worked hard. They dedicated their life to the military and their kids and young grandchildren. I couldn't help contemplate about the fairness of death. Why her? Why now? Why anybody, really? And how I rationalize it is this way. We are all going to die someday. It won't be our decision how and why and at what age. Somebody else. Maybe a higher power, maybe God, or whatever you believe in, but you have to believe that there is a better place or meaning to it. Our son told me he didn't want to be an old man. I believed him and thought about it. I thought about him as an old man, and I just couldn't imagine that image. He also told me he didn't want to bring kids into this world. Although it hurt me to hear this, I understood him and believed him. Maybe Dylan knew better than us what was required of him or his destiny. We know he had an amazing last weekend on Earth. He went to two of his best friend's birthdays and spent his last few hours with his new girlfriend, Autumn, who we didn't know about yet. It gave me peace knowing he had friends that he was surrounded with. Those friends have become our friends now, and they even came to spend Dylan's 22nd birthday in heaven with us on February 1st. My husband also went ice fishing with them and plans on doing the things he would have with Dylan. Autumn, his girlfriend, has become a really good friend, workout partner, and even business partner. I think God, or the universe, gives us gifts to help us through our pain and grief. Autumn asked if I would train her or train with her, and when I agreed to, she ended up helping me focus and be accountable. It helped me get back a little of me one workout at a time. I've always known for me working out helped me spiritually and emotionally, and of course physically, and getting back to it 3 times a week has helped both of us in more ways than we could have imagined. The question one has to ask themselves is, would your loved one want you to be sad and grieve for the rest of your life? Would they want you to live in regret of the things you didn't say or do with them? I think we all know the answer to that. Losing a child or a loved one is awful. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. How do you help them? You show up for them. You don't have to have the right words. A simple hug can do it. As a matter of fact, I can't tell you how often we heard, "I'm sorry for your loss." It's common to say this, but if I could share with you what goes through my head when I hear it is this. Why are you sorry? You didn't kill my son. Sorry to me implies that you did something wrong and you want to correct it. So instead of saying sorry for your loss, personally, I would say to others, your son was this to me or to us and will be deeply missed. I personally would say something positive or why I will miss them. Or just say, I'm just going to give you a hug. Or if it's through Facebook, saying that you're sending a virtual hug and that your child or your loved one is looking out for you, now they're your angel, or something positive like that. Besides being there for the grieving person, offering to help with meals that are freezable, help with cleaning and organizing, maybe a massage, like one of our friends who's a massage therapist gifted us massages, and boy, that really helped us with our tightness. We had no idea how tight we were. Another friend gave a gift certificate for a facial, and that really helped me. I thought I would probably never buy a facial for myself, but it was really actually quite a nice gesture on her behalf, and it was well received. Offering to go for a walk, like my good neighbors did with me, walk their dog, or offer to take their young kids off their hands if they have any, or offer to visit with a young child. We had a friend come with a 3-year-old, and that brought us joy to see him explore and play with my husband. For the grieving person, try picking up an old hobby, maybe crocheting, guitar, playing cards with friends. Even adult coloring books can act like a form of escape and a form of meditation. We decided at the 5-week mark after our son's passing that we needed to get away from our house, have a change of scenery, and decided to do a road trip across Canada to visit our best friends and help bide us time and distraction. We learned we couldn't escape the pain or outrun it with distance, but it was helpful to be around supportive friends who could take care of us. The mountains in Alberta were therapeutic, as were the hikes and day trips of exploring new towns. Grief is exhausting. Many people will want to stop by and visit, and it was all a good distraction, but sharing the story and pain over and over again with different sets of friends was exhausting. The visits were welcome and nice, don't get me wrong, but listening to your body is important the first couple of months. It's okay to say no. It's okay to decline visits. We had to do it. Our ambition has changed. Will it come back? I don't know how much it will, but with spring coming and as snow melts here in Canada, it feels like a new beginning is coming. Looking for the silver lining in this situation is imperative when you can. By writing this episode, it's helping me to heal and get it out of my head and on paper. It has taken a couple of hours to write 12 pages of notes and many tears and tissues. Initially, I was writing in a journal daily to help me understand the grief we were going through. It may help you as well. I used to focus on writing daily gratitudes and look forward to getting back to that practice with consistency. But anything consistent still doesn't seem like it's going to be on my plate. I don't know when it will. And it's okay to not know, and it's okay not to put those pressures on yourself, I've come to realize. Other things that helped me get through my grief were walks in nature, seeing our dog run free through the woods, coloring in the adult coloring books that were gifted to me, and meditation moments of lying on my bed and talking to our son. Sometimes my husband or I would go down to Dylan's room and lay on his bed and just be in his room. We haven't changed anything about his room. We'll probably keep it the same for a while. Watching humorous shows and comedians and getting a good laugh are great ways to move away from crying. Crying and pain are normal and okay. It's better to let it out than keep it in. Grief counseling may or may not be for you. We did 3 sessions as a family, and it was okay, but we agreed that it wasn't for us. Perhaps individual counseling with the right person could help. It's not to say that won't happen for each of us at some point. Talking with friends has helped all of us. Reducing my expectations of myself and being kind to myself has occurred and needed to. If you're in the same situation as us, I would recommend taking off at least a month. Our daughter had 2 jobs and full-time college, and she went back too soon, and it wasn't good on her emotionally. Even 2 weeks is too soon. Death is different for all of us. We will find our way, as I pray you will as well, when the time comes. If it helps you to believe there is a lesson in death, which for me, I think, is to love as much as you can. Hug your kids or loved ones as much as you reasonably can, because you don't know if that will be the last hug you get. Don't put off visiting or caring for people you love. Forgive yourself if needed. Don't live with regret. Ask for help when you need it. People are there for you. Don't hesitate to reach out to us for help, as I did to other parents who lost their children. Focus on today and what you can do for yourself. What will make you happy in this moment? We only have this moment today. Don't put off what your gut is telling you. Your gut instinct is probably never wrong. I want to thank all of the people that personally helped us through this time of despair. There's so many people to thank, and we're just so grateful that all of you were there for us. And we do have a memorial bench that is being built at this time, and we can't wait to invite you to it. If you find that this episode helped you in any way, or if you know somebody who is dealing with grief, perhaps this episode may help them. And that would be my desire, or my wish, is to help other people through this. Have a great day, and perhaps my next episode will be a little bit cheerier than this one.
Thanks for listening to A Healthier You, Little by Little. Do you have a question about something you heard today? An idea for a topic, perhaps? Or would you like to reach out to Cindy? Send her an email, coachcindylittle@gmail.com, or visit her website at health2wealth.ca. That's health2wealth.ca. Or you can find Cindy on LinkedIn or Facebook as Cindy Little. Once again, thanks for listening.